from the island of Malta. Today is the 31st day of October. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is great to be here with you. Wow, here we are now concluding 10 months of our 20th year. Wow, 2 months to go in this year. It has gone by quite rapidly. And we'll be going into November tomorrow, and the year sure speeds up, doesn't it? So we're out here in front of it, and I'm grateful to be here with you and excited to take this next step as we bring another one of our months to a close. We are in the Book of Lamentations at this point. Today, chapters 4 and 5. How the gold has grown dim, how the pure gold is changed. The sacred stones lie scattered at the head of every street. The precious children of Zion, worth their weight in fine gold, how they are reckoned as earthen pots, the work of a potter's hands. Even the jackals offer the breast and nurse their young. But my people has become cruel, like the ostriches in the wilderness. The tongue of the infant sticks to the roof of its mouth for thirst. The children beg for food, but there is nothing for them. Those who feasted on delicacies perish in the streets. Those who were brought up in purple cling to ash heaps. For the chastisement of my people has been greater than the punishment of Sodom, which was overthrown in a moment, though no hand was laid on it. Her princes were purer than snow, whiter than milk. Their bodies were more ruddy than coral, their form cut like sapphire. Now their visage is blacker than soot. They are not recognized in the streets. Their skin has shriveled on their bones. It has become as dry as wood. Happier were those pierced by the sword than those pierced by hunger, whose life drains away, deprived of the produce of the field. The hands of compassionate women have boiled their own children. They became their food in the destruction of my people. The Lord gave full vent to his wrath. He poured out his hot anger and kindled a fire in Zion that consumed its foundations. The kings of the earth did not believe, nor did any of the inhabitants of the world, that foe or enemy could enter the gates of Jerusalem. It was for the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests, who shed the blood of the righteous in her midst. Blindly they wandered through the streets, so defiled with blood that no one was able to touch their garments. Away! Unclean! People shouted at them. Away! Away! Do not touch! So they became fugitives and wanderers. It was said among the nations, they shall stay here no longer. The Lord himself has scattered them. He will regard them no more. No honor was shown to the priests, no favor to the elders. Our eyes failed, ever watching vainly for help. We were watching eagerly for a nation that could not save. They dogged our steps, so that we could not walk in our streets. Our end drew near. Our days were numbered, for our end had come. Our pursuers were swifter than the eagles in the heavens. They chased us on the mountains. They lay in wait for us in the wilderness. The Lord's anointed, the breath of our life was taken in their pits. the one of whom we said, under his shadow we shall live among the nations. Rejoice and be glad, O daughter Edom, you that live in the land of Uz. But to you also the cup shall pass. You shall become drunk and strip yourself bare. The punishment of your iniquity, O daughter Zion, is accomplished. He will keep you in exile no longer. But your iniquity, O daughter Edom, he will punish. He will uncover your sins. Remember, O Lord, what has befallen us. Look and see our disgrace. Our inheritance has been turned over to strangers, our homes to aliens. We have become orphans, fatherless. Our mothers are like widows. We must pay for the water we drink. The wood we get must be bought. With a yoke on our necks, we are hard driven. We are weary. We are given no rest. We have made a pact with Egypt and Assyria to get enough bread. Our ancestors sinned. They are no more, and we bear their iniquities. Slaves rule over us. There is no one to deliver us from their hand. We get our bread at the peril of our lives because of the sword in the wilderness. Our skin is black as an oven from the scorching heat of famine. Women are raped in Zion, young women in the towns of Judah. Princes are hung up by their hands. No respect is shown to the elders. Young men are compelled to grind, and boys stagger under the loads of wood. The old men have left the city gate, the young men, their music. The joy of our hearts has ceased. Our dancing has been turned to mourning. A crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our hearts are sick. Because of these things, our eyes have grown dim. Because of Mount Zion, which lies desolate, jackals prowl over it. But you, O Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures to all generations. Why have you forgotten us completely? Why have you forsaken us these many days? Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may be restored. Renew our days of old. Unless you have utterly rejected us and are angry with us beyond measure. Hebrews 2. Therefore, we must pay greater attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message declared through angels proved valid, and every transgression or disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It was declared at first through the Lord, and it was confirmed for us by those who heard him, while God added his testimony by signs and wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Now God did not subject the coming world, about which we are speaking, to angels. But someone has testified somewhere, "What are humans, but you are mindful of them, or mortals, that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet." Now in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them, but we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies, and those who are sanctified, all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters in the midst of the congregation, and will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since therefore the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. Psalm 103. Thanksgiving for God's goodness. Of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we were made. He remembers that we are dust. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding. obedient to his spoken word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Proverbs 26:23. Like the glaze covering an earthen vessel are smooth lips with an evil heart. Father, we thank you for your word. 10 months. 10 months of 20 years. We are grateful to be here. Grateful for all that you have brought us through to get us here. Each and every one of us has a story, and it is a remarkable story of your patience in the face of our rebellion. We are grateful and thank you for 10 months now. Every single day, speaking into our lives, challenging us, transforming our hearts. If we're listening, if we're paying attention, if we're allowing it to sink deep, deep, deep into the innermost parts of who we are, our identity. And that's it. Our identity has to change as we are transformed. We can't just get more or be better. We have to change fundamentally. Our nature is changed into a new nature. We are born again into a new life. And so we open ourselves fully to the transformation and confess that's painful. That can be very, 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 very painful to allow things to die that need to die, and to face things that have to be faced. So give us strength and endurance, which the scriptures are continually advising us. Give us endurance. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Welcome from the island of Malta to whatever this thing is. I'm Jill.
I'm Brian.
And it's good to be back.
Yeah.
How is everyone doing out there?
Oh, it's so good to hear that. And those of you who are like, terrible, so sorry to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, somehow, some way, we can all be in this together.
Yeah. So maybe we can just help you deflect of how terrible you are in this moment.
Yeah.
For the next few moments.
To let it pass through. Acknowledge it, and let it pass through.
And if you need to go back to terrible, you can.
Yeah, just check out of that for a minute. And we'll just kind of share our day. So, Malta.
Malta
is very different than... Malta is very different than any other place we've been.
It is.
It's very different. And I'm still trying to put my head around it, because it's like a bit of a melting pot culturally. Like, it's...
You're exactly right. Arabic meets Italian.
Yeah, meets British.
Meets British. Meets rabbit.
Meets rabbit. Guys, rabbit. We haven't had the bravery to do it.
I think we talked about this last night, if I'm not...
Rabbit liver was on a menu today.
Or maybe I dreamt it.
No, I think we might have.
Okay.
I think we're going to probably not check out that delicacy.
There was rabbit stew, and you're right, rabbit liver. And I just was like, little bunny foo-foo, I can't do it.
We were told that they're not like the little pet bunnies that, you know, they're like big.
Which is even worse.
Rabbits. It's like, okay, that's great. That's great.
They're like house pets caged until they eat them.
Yeah, because like people, we were told, you know, back in the day, people would have rabbits and chickens running around and kill and eat them. So
it's a good source of protein, is what our lovely tour guide, Maria, I think that was her name.
I think that's right.
And if it wasn't, I apologize.
I think that's right.
But she sounded just like Mel B, one of the Spice Girls.
Ah, wow.
So I loved listening to her.
Yeah.
Deep voice.
So.
And a fellow redhead.
Man, yes. So I have been trying to remember, because I can't remember the names, like, of the different little towns, and Malta's small, and so we kind of were around a bit, but I can't remember everything. So, you know, obviously we've been chasing the New Testament. We've been like really, really chasing the Book of Acts. And we've been doing that for a long time now, from Turkey to Greece to Malta.
Chasing Paul's old stomping grounds.
Yeah, just absolutely chasing down the old haunts of the Apostle Paul, and finding so many, you know, and actually John as well.
Yeah.
But
and then just a nice surprise today with John the Baptist.
John the Baptist, yeah. So we got going this morning, and I just wish I could remember where this was. Rabat, I believe it was called, because we were talking rabbit, Rabat.
Oh, that's
rabbit,
right.
Rabbit, Rabat. And we were told they have nothing to do with each other.
Right.
And Rabat means like suburb. And so we went to the suburbs, but of the city of Valletta, which I believe is where we are, the capital city.
Yes.
And this is a place significant to the Apostle Paul and his journeys. And I hope I have this right. I know we first went to this church, a church of St. Paul and a church to Publius, or St. Publius, the person that was the governor, Roman governor of Malta at the time that Paul shipwrecked, and who became a believer. Paul prayed a prayer of healing over his father. He was healed, and Publius was kindly to the gospel, and so things really shifted here. And now he's known as a saint, and known as the person who became a church leader, even a bishop, on Malta after Paul left. So there's this kind of dual church there. I remember that. And we met the archpriest, right? So the main, and this is a pretty big sized church. We met the priest, who happened to have grown up, I guess, here, our guide. Small island, everybody seems to know everybody. In some sort of way, in some sort of connection. And so he let us go into the main church, which is not normally open.
Yeah, we wouldn't have been able to go there had he not needed to meet the little group of school kids.
Right.
And as you stated, Maria knew him, and he kindly, very kindly let us go into the sanctuary. Well,
they had some kind of conversation in Maltese, and the next thing we know, we're in. And man, it was a surprise because that was like a really, really beautiful church. Like,
it was
very moved by it.
I was very moved, and I can't tell you what or how or why. I don't know. It was so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a very, I say this respectfully, but in a very kind of overdone way.
I think here they call it Baroque.
Baroque. Thank you very much.
Definitely intense.
I mean, it's true too.
And intensely beautiful and ornate.
But there's so much symbolism everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think I love this. Well, I don't think I love the symbolism.
Yeah.
I'm sad that we have lost the symbolism,
mm-hmm.
because without the symbolism, we don't know the whole story. We don't know the meaning. Like, just for example, a couple of days ago, we were still seeing very Greek Orthodox
right.
churches.
Yeah.
And there's this thing called the Narthex
mm-hmm.
outside of the Greek Orthodox church. And we, almost every basilica that we went to, whether it's ruins or whether it's a church fully intact, they always pointed out the Narthex. So even, I don't know, a week and a half ago when we were just at our last place, mm-hmm. which is actually a day, I just finally asked the guide, like, what was the function of the Narthex? Because I keep hearing this Narthex, and I don't, we would call it the foyer.
Yeah.
Or the
lobby.
Lobby or the coffee area.
Yeah. Where you get the coffee,
where you get the coffee
as you're going into service.
I don't think that was it then. Anyways, what was explained to me, and I think this is so beautiful, and I'm sad that we lost it, is that the Narthex was intentional in that that was the place you went to prepare your heart
mm-hmm.
to go into worship.
Mm-hmm.
Or do we even consider our heart walking into the sanctuary?
Right.
And I
you
mean,
go in more silent reverence, like you go in as if you are humbly going into the presence of God.
Right. Complentative, quiet, you know, maybe not ticked off that they don't have the creamer that you love.
Mm-hmm.
I just absolutely loved that. And there was another reasoning too. It was like, if you were not specifically Greek Orthodox and could not participate in the Holy Communion, there was something to do with the Narthex
I don't think it's just, I don't think the Narthex is exclusive to like Greek Orthodox.
Yeah.
Like, I think they had them in the Byzantine era. Like, I think it's a thing.
I think it is too, but I don't know for sure.
But its purpose and what it was designed to be maybe has evolved
into the coffee bar.
In some cases.
So this particular church, I don't know. It just moved me.
Yeah. And so this is a Roman Catholic church, and so the thing, like, we saw the shift in just certain styles of worship or certain theological understandings or persuasions. So whereas a Greek Orthodox church is going to have icons,
mm-hmm.
Which are paintings, they don't have any kind of like statue, any kind of, you know, more three-dimensional kind of object,
right.
just because of, you know, fear of idolatry. Whereas, but the purpose of all of the elements that are used like this isn't like to worship any kind of object. It's to focus the heart and the mind. And so we're in this place where there is statue, you know, there are statues and man,
large statues,
like beautiful creations of art. depicting all kinds of things, as well as, you know, mosaics and stuff like that. So, but just a very different style.
Uh-huh.
Like a very different kind of culture, very different style. It was beautiful.
It was beautiful, and also very enlightening that these large churches, especially this particular one of this nature, then and now, is very much the center of focus for community.
Yeah.
It goes beyond a place of worship, culturally. I mean, we even learned politically, wherever we were a day or two ago, that the locals, the people would come together and discuss politics. If we could get a lesson on how we could do that and still walk away friends, we can pray to the saints for that. They served a far greater purpose than just a place of worship. And, you know, we read the Bible every year. It's true of the priests. They had a far more integral and what's the right word?
Integrated. Not sure.
Involved. Thank you very much. Role than, you know, putting together a 42-minute message for Sunday. We learned that those with leprosy had to go to the priest before they could be deemed clean.
Yeah.
Just a lot of things. Anyways, it was really sweet to hear that the community really comes together. And we have learned this in multiple places.
Yeah.
Like the community come together for meals, for celebrations, festivals. And two, it's just so sweet watching people walk arm in arm down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Friends.
Mm-hmm.
Young people. And nobody saying anything or...
Yeah.
Strolling down the road. Anyways, okay, so we went to this
church. So we did
church.
That. And I believe that next we were going to the grotto. And so... Several things about that. This is a cave that tradition holds that the Apostle Paul, this is kind of where he lived or stayed during the time after the shipwreck on Malta.
Mm-hmm.
And so for like the second time in just a couple of days, we're in a cave.
Yeah.
That Paul stayed in. You know, these long traditional histories. So we're over in Crete at Fairhaven's in a cave. And then here we are in Malta on the other side of that storm.
Mm-hmm.
After all is lost with the ship. And here he is. You know, they stay here for a bit. And here's this cave. And it's amazing to see that. And just kind of touch this part of history. But there's also like a lot of catacombs all throughout there, and they were definitely there when Paul was there, because they, some of those catacombs goes, you know, centuries before Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're kind of walking around in these ancient catacombs as well.
Okay, real quick, explain what a grotto is, and explain
like
what
a catacomb is, like underground. Like an underground
tunnel,
like community, like tunnel, yes, but also rooms and passageways and, you know, like even like a church, like any number of things.
Graves.
It's just underground, basically.
Yeah.
All those things that you just said, but underground.
And this particular set of catacombs was carved from the limestone underneath the ground.
Right. Underneath the city. And even part of that was from World War II. They went deeper than the original catacombs because, we've learned like so many things that are maybe extra biblical, but Malta is like a strategic place. Like it's kind of the doorway into the Mediterranean. And so I'm kind of in between Italy, Sicily, and like North Africa. And so it's kind of a strategic little island for as small as it is. And I don't remember all the details, but you know, the Italians and the Germans in World War II were kind of in alliance. It was like the Nazis and the fascists. And I think there were some, I believe what she said was it was kind of Crete that taught some lessons. Like Crete was taken, but at such a high cost that there were some changes in strategy on how to like conquer, and so it was just decided to bomb Malta into submission. Not invade Malta, just like bomb it into surrender. And so I guess it's I need to like do this, like understand some of this a little bit better by doing some study myself, but the way that I understood it was, you know, that Malta was one of the most bombed out places at that point in the war. And so
she did say that,
so they had to also like dig more modern catacombs deeper than the original ones. And so we got to see some of that as well, and how people, like large families, would have to stay in this like small bedroom size place to avoid just, you know, the bombing. And so this is a culture that's a mixed culture, a lot of different influences.
Yeah.
And has definitely seen its fair share of hardship along the way.
But they seem to be like quite resilient.
Yeah.
And quite individualistic.
Yeah, very unique. And there seems to be this order, not seems to be, there was this order of St. John the Baptist. With their whole, you know, special cross, like very medieval stuff going on here. And I might not do this justice either, but here's my best understanding from just an overload of information. This order of St. John the Baptist was originally kind of what we would know of as like a medic crew, like, before they became knights and before they became soldiers, it was sort of care, especially medical care.
Mm-hmm.
And they cared, you know, definitely for soldiers in the Crusades and Christians on pilgrimage. And there's, I'm butchering this. There's so much more to it, but this is a broad overview. And at some point, they had to turn into kind of more militarized soldiers and knights and be able to fight while retaining this kind of hospital medical ethos. And like their main leader was called a grand wizard, and so it's just like all this medieval stuff, very very interesting orders of how the church kind of progressed through that time in history. And they were on Crete, but then when, you know, the Arab conquest happened and maybe Islam kind of took over that area, they had to leave and they ended up in Malta and really settled Malta. And so there is this one city that we went to called Emdina, a fortress city, spectacular, spectacular, amazing to see just the fortifications. And then Valletta, the capital city, is how it was a fortress city, how it was designed so that, you know, pirates or any other kind of invader was going to have the most utterly discouraging, difficult time trying to take this island. Like, it was going to cost so much to try to overrun. And so we saw so many fortifications today from those times, from the Knights of St. John the Baptist. And their influence, one of their influences on the island here. So there's just so much to it. But we were in those caves, in the catacombs.
Yes.
In the museum there with unbelievable. I mean, we saw some unbelievable paintings today.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable. Throughout the day in different places. But so we're going into the grotto and going to see St. Paul, and we're kind of stepping up to the kiosk there to get our tickets, and there's like this little glass window, and like sort of taped to the window there, and Ezekiel points this out, is this envelope, and it's got our names on it. Like in large, it's Brian and Jill. And then we look closer and it's like, whatever this is to her. And so we're like, I think that's us. I think that's us. And so that lady behind the counter is like, what? You know, like, somebody was here like several days ago and left this here. And this is you. And we're like, this is us. And so we get this envelope, open it up, and it's from Luke and his wife, who had just, I guess, a few days ago been in Malta, and we're also kind of like following our trip. And so, hello, Luke. Hello, Luke's wife. We got your message.
Yeah.
Thank you. That made our day. It was a happy moment. It's a small world, and
it's a small world. It just made me feel not so far away.
That's a big community, but we're just kind of all in this together. And so that was a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And, so thank you. We got that just as we were going down into the cave to see Paul's digs.
Yeah, thankful for a little man to catch it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was super cool. And then the museum was super cool. And wow, where do we go from there? I think we went from there to St. Paul's Bay.
No.
Right? No?
No, we went to, oh, maybe we did. I thought we went to the...
I'm having the hardest time this particular day of piecing the things back together. I've been really good along the way of going, I know where we went, then we went there, then we went there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm correcting you and I don't know that I'm right. We went to, or maybe it was the bay and I just don't know what the place was.
What do you think? The house.
The house where, or not the house, the place where Paul healed the governor's father.
Oh, you're right. So.
Wait, say that again.
You're right.
Oh.
You're right, baby.
Oh.
You've got that right. And that reminded me, while we were walking through somewhere, we saw this really, really big church. Really big. We didn't go into it, but really big. And it was like a cathedral type of church. Of St. Publius, and that was thought to be on the place where he governed the island. So wherever his like governing palace type dwelling was. And then we went to this other place and we really couldn't get in there. It's a chapel, but it was Publius's like home. Like, it is more out in the country, and he was wealthy, and so there's these ruins and excavations that have been done that reveal kind of a large home, but also a very kind of large olive oil producing farm, basically. And this was Publius's, like, this is where he was when the shipwreck happened.
Mm.
And this is where his father was when Paul came and there was a healing. So this is where he was. And there's a small chapel that's been made there, but the ruins from the Roman era are there and visible. It was really hard to get in. Like, it wasn't open, but...
Yeah, there wasn't... I really couldn't see anything there.
But we saw enough.
Yeah.
To see what it was and clearly understand kind of the context and perspective of it.
Yep. And then we moved on, and from there we went to the bay.
To the bay. And so the bay looks kind of like a bay. Because it's modern. Mm-hmm. But this is where the shipwreck is said to have occurred. And, I mean, I guess there's some conjecture about it being in a different place, but this is the long, long, long running tradition. And there are reasons for the long, long running traditions. And, and there's a church there as well. Like, this place, Malta, has a lot of churches. It's kind of like Nashville.
Yeah, that's true. She showed us there's a church across the street from a church. And it was like, wow.
She's like, this is a pretty small island, but there are more churches than there are days in the year.
And, oh, that's right.
And so this was the church of St. Paul of the Flames.
Mm-hmm.
I think she said it's called something different in English, but the Maltese, like a direct interpretation or translation, mm-hmm. would make it St. Paul of the Flames. And this is just up the hill from the bay and to be the spot basically where this bonfire that is spoken of in the book of Acts. I think this is Acts 28 at this point.
Mm.
And where this all this Malta stuff happens. And a great bonfire was built because everybody's coming out of the sea and it's winter. Like, it's cold. The waters are cold and they have just been through weeks of storms.
Yeah.
And so their bodies are in danger. Like, they got to warm up. And so this is massive bonfire and the locals are helping and showing hospitality. And Paul has a big, armload of firewood and he's stoking the fire and a snake comes out of that and bites him and sticks to his hand and everybody's thinking he's got to be, like he escaped the sea, but he will not escape justice.
Yeah.
And that he must be like a murderer. And so they're waiting for him to die, like just to fall over dead, but he doesn't. And so then they think he's somehow divine and special powers. And this is what gets him, in front of Publius. And then there's a healing. And so there's like all of this, the way that God worked through Paul that gave credibility to the gospel message as it kind of came to Malta. And mm-hmm. so this church commemorates the spot where the bonfire was. And then out in the bay are these islands known as, I believe, St. Paul's Islands. And, there's a statue, like a memorial statue out there. And, it's a big bay, but you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
You can sort of imagine. I mean, the sea was pretty calm, so we can't imagine it being nuts out there, like winter, northeaster, terrible weather situation. But you can imagine it.
But also being on the boat the other day when we were going away,
mm-hmm.
and it was a rockin'.
Yep.
I was like, whoa, we would possibly be fish bait if we were in a tiny little boat out in the middle of the water.
Right.
So it totally makes sense.
Absolutely. And so being there in this place and, touching tradition again and, I don't know, just going like, okay, wait, the story that is spoken of in the book of Acts has real context, has real geography, can move from just imagination into... some sort of reality.
Mm-hmm.
All of these places that we have visited have made so many of these stories come to vivid, clear life.
Yeah.
I'll never read them the same because I'll see these places in my mind.
Yeah, for sure.
And in my memories. So that was cool. beyond cool, actually. Mm. And then we went somewhere else.
We came back to Valletta. Starts with a V.
Yeah, so we came back, right?
Yeah.
Went to these gardens, went to this view overlooking the bay, like, I think it's called the Grand Harbor. And so it's very big, very massive, and there's a tradition that, you know, from that kind of bay that Paul they left Malta. Obviously, one thing we did learn is that, like, every community here has been influenced by St. Paul and wants to claim some type of legend, some kind of association, some kind of legend, some kind of connection to Paul. So some of these things are, you know, our legend or are just our traditions. But
yeah, for example, Maria said it's so culturally embedded into it's so historically embedded into the culture that everybody knows somebody in their family. An uncle, a brother-in-law, a nephew, so forth, whose name is Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Or a variation of Paul.
Yeah.
And she's like gave examples, and I was like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many years later, and this is still reverberating.
This is definitely part of the cultural identity for thousands of years at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like a major, major thing happened here because of that shipwreck. And so, fascinating, 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 because it is absolutely in the fabric of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not new.
It's not new, like, and the people haven't forgotten.
It's very, 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 very ancient. It goes way, way back. And so, you know, there may be some conjecture about, well, maybe this was a different island or whatever, but this is so in the fabric and so much of the culture, and it goes back so many thousands of years back to Roman times.
Mm-hmm.
That it's like, okay, I mean, you know, as close as we can tell, like, these things happened here. And a lot of times when they are embedded in the cultural narrative, because Paul is everywhere here.
He's everywhere, and it's not that he's just everywhere, it's that he's revered. She said the people of Malta hold very closely a reverence, maybe it wasn't the word reverence, a deep respect for Saint Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And they all know why. Like, they have their days of saints that they celebrate, that there's a mass, that it's like a national holiday. And maybe national holiday. It's an observance.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong. I'm saying it's...
it's moving. It's
moving.
It touches a deep spiritual connection, spiritual place.
For sure.
Yeah. So, then we went into, I believe, I think we went to our last.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the cathedral of St. John the Baptist. And mm-hmm. we were sort of prepared in advance, like, this is going to be different.
Yeah.
And it was. Like, it was... I mean, the scale... Like, we have been to St. Peter's Basilica in Rome before, and mm-hmm. that is overwhelming.
It's one of the largest churches, like, isn't
overwhelming.
It?
And on this trip, we've been to Hagia Sophia. Mm-hmm. Overwhelmingly big. And, yeah. That's part of it, is like you enter a space that is like hard to fathom or kind of hard to take in. It's so much, so big, and there's so much going on in all, every recess, like everything.
Yeah. There's murals on the walls. There's murals on the ceilings.
And it's so high, you know, it's so big.
So.
Like 75 feet tall. It's so, so big and.
Grand.
And a cathedral is, you know, is meant, like the cathedrals were meant to do that. Like you're supposed to, these ancient cathedrals were built so that you walk in and it's a different space than any other space in the world and that you are familiar with. So you are in a different kind of space that is unlike any other space that you go into, and you are immediately drawn to lift your head up. You are immediately drawn to look up. And these, you know, these massive murals, and it's so high, but and then when you look up and you see how big of a space you are in, you are sort of enveloped in this holy space. And that is, you know, it's all of that. It was all of that.
Yeah.
It was so big. And the artwork, everywhere, expert, craftsmanship of magnificent, unspeakable proportions.
Yeah.
Paintings so big that it's just like hard to imagine.
Yeah.
And you're looking at paintings that are 500, 600, 700 years old, and.
But very intentional also, because they're intended to tell stories, tell the stories of the Bible, tell events that took place. And. But it is, it's like you said, like you can't. You don't know where to put your eyes. There's so much to see and such intricacy in the detail.
Overwhelming.
Yeah.
On purpose. It's made to be overwhelming. And then to just truly explore the space, you got to spend weeks probably to do it, to slow the whole thing down and take in every little aspect, which nobody really, you know, we couldn't do, but we got to kind of see everything. And that was maybe quite a way to end the day.
Yeah.
Of, you know, chasing the Bible here on Malta.
The last oil painting that we saw, though, that we went into the side room. Of, I can't remember the man. It was the man that translated the Bible.
St. Jerome. Translated the Bible into Latin.
That painting was.
I mean, the detail.
Unbelievable.
The movement, the detail, like the humanity, the. Almost. I mean, this is so long before photography, and yet it's like photorealistic.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, St. Jerome isn't somebody that we're unfamiliar with, not just from church history, but also just from, you know, going to Israel, because this, you know, this translation of the Bible happened in a grotto, in a cave.
Yeah.
Below the Church of the Nativity, where, you know, where Jesus was born. And so, like, where Jerome actually did this work, like this kind of rock-hewn desk and these small quarters where he just stayed and did this work, this holy work of translation. We're familiar with it. And so we're familiar with him. And so that painting was amazing.
It was larger than life.
Mm-hmm.
And quite beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So that was our day.
Malta didn't disappoint.
Never does.
And it won't be the last.
Nope.
There's just a lot here.
There's a lot here. In case anyone is wondering, the Maltese dog does not have a lot to do with the island of Malta.
Fascinating enough.
Yeah.
What other fun facts? I don't remember the little pastry kind of thing we had.
Oh, I don't either.
All of this stuff is in the video that is posted.
It was cousins to a chicken pot pie.
That one was.
Yeah. The chicken one was. Mm-hmm. But the tradition was peas and ricotta.
Yep.
And so my guess is it's wrapped in some phyllo mm-hmm. pastry. It was crispy and flaky.
And yummy.
And yummy and delicioso. And we left there and I walked across the street and got fresh grapes. And I'm going to miss that. And one other really funny, endearing cultural reference mm-hmm. that happened today. Mm. We were in the caves and I asked Maria a question about Paul fleeing to a cave. My guess would be like they didn't have homes on the islands. You know, there wasn't like a little cottage, not little Airbnb.
Right.
And the elements of the weather of nature, mm-hmm. they needed to be protected. So I was like, this is just my best guess of why a cave. And there was like a little sidebar conversation about, I can't even remember how it evolved, but it was like exiled, imprisoned. And I was like, well, in America, we have this place that it's an island and it's exile and imprisonment called, both of those things. And she was like, Alcatraz. And I was like, you know, Alcatraz. And she's like, we have a term here in Malta.
Uh-huh.
And I'll just use the example that she gave. Yep. This is not me. If your mother is very controlling, mm-hmm. she's
dominant
a bit, dominant and controlling
and interfering.
She's a bit Alcatraz. Oh, you grew up with Alcatraz. And I was like, wow, of all things, culturally.
In the cultural fabric of Malta. You're an Alcatraz if you have this kind of mother.
Yeah.
What was the other thing she said? Oh, so that reminds me of a cultural thing. So we're standing at the Church of St. Paul in the flames.
Oh, yes.
And the snake is hanging from his hand. And she's like, there's a saying that the poison left Paul and entered the tongues of Maltese women.
A nagging wife.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, yeah, we have terms for that in America too.
Mm. So there's your whatever this is for today.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, gratefully, we get to sleep in.
Mm-hmm.
It's been hard charging again for several days and a lot of travel. And eventually, by tomorrow night, we will be in Italy and kind of moving into the last leg, last push of this unbelievable journey that we have been on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not sure we're actually going to be able to do whatever this is tomorrow, but we will definitely be back with whatever this is as soon as we can, which is probably going to be the day after tomorrow, although we have continued to be able to kind of post the videos from what our day looked like. So watch for that on social
We'll resume and whatever we'll, this is whenever we can.
As soon as possible.
From wherever we are.
Right. So thank you for your continued prayers. It's been epic. Mostly unbelievable. But definitely some hard patches to get through, and fatigue, and just, it's a lot.
Yeah.
But it changes everything. It's in terms of the way that we approach the New Testament at this point. So I'm looking forward to how that gets incorporated and processed and integrated into the future. But that is it from Malta. I am Brian.
I'm Jill.
We love you. We thank you for loving us and praying for us. And we'll be waiting for you here.
Tomorrow.
Hello, my DAB family. This is Jamie in New Jersey, standing on the Word of God. I humbly ask you to please pray with me. Dear Father in Heaven, help us to manage our time wisely. Help us to prioritize those things that are necessary. Your word teaches us that there's a time for everything, and so we want to learn to take time for the important things in life. Let us be present in each moment and give our best effort in everything we do. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for praying along with me, my brothers and sisters. I love each and every one of you. Have a good night.
Hi, DAB family. This is Aaron in Colorado. I'm calling because I have a concern. I got a notice today that I was going to be denied on some medical bills from a car accident that my family and I had earlier this year. And so we're looking at potentially paying out tens of thousands of dollars out of pocket now. And I'm feeling a lot of fear, especially since my wife came back with a positive pregnancy test today, which is great news. But it feels like it got really tempered by this healthcare scare that we're having right now. So I want to ask for prayers that we would trust God through this. We don't know what's going to happen. And I'm asking for your prayers. I thank you.
Good morning, everyone. It's Susan from Canada, God's Yellow Flower. And I just heard Brian from Ohio, I think it is. That's your son, Mitchell, is in jail for assault. And your whole family needs prayer. I want to praise God for you as a father, that you have, under horrible circumstances, you've remained faithful to your family, in prayer and guidance. And I want to pray over you as well. So, Lord God, you see Brian, and he is your son, Lord God. He's asking for his family to be held together in bonds of love that cannot be broken, bonds of love that can only come from you. And I pray, Lord God, that you would work in the hearts of each and every one of them, especially Mitchell, who we've been praying for so many years, Lord God. We lift him up to you and ask, dear God, that he get the proper treatment that he needs, that he can lead a life to the fullest. We pray over his other son, Matt, and his daughter, and God, that you would show them the way you want them to go, that they would submit their will to yours. And I pray also that you would restore his marriage with Kathy. Lord God, let forgiveness and mercy reign in that family and make each one whole in the in Jesus Christ. We ask this all in the blessed name of our Father, of our Holy Father. Amen.
Hi, DAB family. This is God's Life Speaker. I am behind on my community prayers. Today is October 29th, and I'm listening to the October 4th community prayers. About an hour and 25 minutes in, Nicole Living Christ's redemption story in Florida called for all of our children and grandchildren, but specifically this time she was calling out for baby Caleb. And Nicole It was beautiful what you said. I hope his parents hear it and can go back to that community prayer and hear it. You said that Caleb has already touched thousands of people, and his ministry and his purpose was deemed before he had even been born, and that he has done great things for God's kingdom already. I have never thought of it like that. I always thought, you know, we guess we're masterpieces, and God has a purpose that he's planned before time began for us to walk in. But you're right, baby Caleb, all of us, but in this case, baby Caleb, before time began, God knew what his ministry was going to be, and it was going to be from inside the womb. It was going to start before he was even born, and that he has already reached thousands, tens of thousands, however many are hearing this, for God's kingdom. That was so beautiful. That was so beautiful. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being our God, for being our God, the creator that knows before time began, like you say in Psalm 139, that you have knit us together, that you knew every day of the story of our lives. So we thank you, Lord, and we lift up Caleb. We pray that the miracle is he's born and he lives, Lord, but may he just continue to bring you glory and your kingdom. In Jesus' name.